are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November the 23rd, and the good, the bad, and the Plumlee. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm just going to be over here patting myself on the back still for coming up with that show title from earlier in the day here on Sunday as we tape this. I am a sports writer here, not just a joke writer, in the Motor City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Check out PlayMichigan.com, by the way. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Consider making us part of your daily routine. We'll just take up about 25 to 30 minutes of your day. Try to keep them as short as possible. Give you all the info you need to know, maybe a little bit of insight. Brother Brian chipping in very valuable ways as well. But we got some more news from Sunday to pass along, kind of reset where everything's at, and also what I'm keeping an eye on for these next few days, kind of the unsettled things about the Pistons roster outside of more fireworks and more big things that we might not know about that might be coming. Also going to talk about the weekend in review. Going to start with the good. Going to be positive from the opening of the league's free agents period as it goes with the Pistons. What I like about Troy Weaver's vision and the team he's building. We're also going to talk a little bit about the bad, what I don't like about the approach and the process of the rebuild so far. The good, the bad, and the Plumlee. I just got to get it off my chest a little bit. Going to lay out why I think the contract's so bad, and then we'll try to drop it for at least a while. But I felt like I had to get these things off my chest. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Your boy has like 3 followers short of 4,000. I feel like I've had between 3 and 4,000 literally for like 5 years because I escaped to the Caribbean for a while, wasn't really doing too much content in Chicago, etc., etc. So hook your boy up. Give the show a follow at Locked On Pistons. We got numbers popping up there as well. Give Brian a follow. Brother Brian, show contributor, BShook12. Again, S-C-H-O-C-H on our last name, my big bro. And give Play Michigan a follow. Play_Michigan. We're over 500 followers there. Sorry about that, Dr. Joe Brown. And then, of course, is there one more? I don't know. I'm all out of Twitter accounts. Give me a follow on Instagram, Matthew_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Hey, we're also looking for your reaction from what's going on with the Pistons. I know it's crazy. We're all excited that news is popping in. That's the original feeling that we're all kind of feeling right now. But what's your real take about the direction, about the process? How do you feel about this? 810-666-1546. Again, 810-666-1546. A lot of places and people and analysts and cap nerds, everyone's very critical about the Pistons right now. And we got to be a little bit critical even here on Locked On Pistons, but we're trying to find the vision. We're trying to find what we like. We're going to keep it positive. I'm not going to be fighting with Pistons fans on Twitter too much going forward. Certainly we will be a little bit critical, but huge download numbers from you guys. We've already broke the record for the biggest month in Locked On Pistons history, despite the fact that there's several days to spare here in November. The last record was February's trade deadline. That broke January's trade deadline. Then the pandemic kind of curtailed all that growth. But over the weekend, saw that we were number 28 on the iTunes basketball rankings, which is really big for us out of any podcast in the entire world that covers basketball. So really cool. Thanks to you guys. Hopefully a lot of you guys stick around. We talk Pistons. We have fun. We keep it light. But we also talk about other things, and hopefully we have some laughs as well here on the show. We were waiting on Sunday as I taped this 6:30 Sunday evening, waiting on the Tony Bradley news. That was the one guy on the Pistons that we knew was getting dealt one way or another. There's other guys that may get dealt, but Bradley was as good as gone because the new centers that are coming in with Okafor and Plumlee and the draftee Stewart, there was no need for an extra center still, even after Dedmon was gone. So those were the only obvious one that was going to go, and that came on Sunday with the news from Woj that Bradley was headed to Philadelphia to be a bench piece there. Zaire Smith coming back in the deal to Detroit, the piece that I've been looking at from them for a while. I was talking Derrick Rose trades with them, trying to get some of their second-round picks over, as well as the Zaire Smith types and maybe Raul Neto or other guys that they've had to fill some salaries too. Zaire Smith, the first-round pick few years back, has only played 13 games in the league. I think it's a nice move. I think it's one of those 100% approval ratings for Pistons fans on a move just because the lack of cost, right? Tony Bradley, there's no need to keep him on this roster as the third or fourth center. Zaire Smith was the 16th or 17th pick the same year the Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas draft, one of the better drafts of the last several years. And what's interesting about him is that everybody loved the pick that night for Philadelphia. The athletic upside is unbelievable. The skill development's got to come in time. And he's had a bit of a wash for his first 2 years. He had a really scary allergic reaction that was, I don't know if life-threatening is quite, maybe that's a little much, but it was a very scary situation for him. He's also had some other regular injuries along the way, up and down in the G League. But again, the pedigree is there, the talent's there. We'll see if it's able to be put together. This is a one-year, $3.4 or $3.5 million. They saved about $300,000 in this deal, so that's nice. But Zaire, as a first-round pick, has his year four option that the Pistons have to pick up or decline, which you would think they would decline, unless they somehow see training camp that this guy's the stud that everyone was hoping for when Philly drafted him. So kind of resetting the roster here, Derrick Rose, Killian Hayes are your point guards. At off guard slash small forward, you got Svi and DeLon Wright. You got Rodney Magruder still up in the air. Zaire Smith coming over. Jalen Hands. Now as we transition to more threes and fours, you got Josh Jackson, John and Musa, Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey. Davidas Servetus is maybe still en route. I don't know quite what's going on with him. I wouldn't suspect that he's going to be on this roster as it's so crowded right now. Maybe a G League candidate if the G League happens this year. Moving to the 4-5 or the 4 category is Sekou. I guess he's like a 3-4. Blake is a 4-5. And then you got 5s in Mason Plumlee. Although some people, you know, he played a little alongside Jokic at times. Maybe there's a world that he plays for. Isaiah Stewart's not super tall. Clearly Stewart and Plumlee you don't want to have on the court at the same time. Jahlil Okafor is a pure 5. There's all sort of Zaben Lee. The deal with Utah was made for sure. James Redwood's reporting that he's probably a two-way type of guy. There's Lewis King. I'm not sure what his status is right now. Maybe he's the second two-way. Haven't heard anything there. Maybe one of these guys gets converted to a two-way. Just crazy amount of up in the air still. But we know some things. I mean, we know the new free agents are going to be on this team for at least a couple months. So we can kind of extrapolate that. But next couple days, the big questions left in my eyes. Dwayne Dedmon's going to get stretched. We know that's going to happen. But Rodney Magruder, that's still up in the air, right? Reports from Friday night when they signed Jeremy Grant that he's going to get stretched too. And then we're talking about 5 years and about three plus, closer to $4 million of dead money on the cap for the next 5 years. The way that the wind is blowing, it seems like maybe that Magruder could be not waived, and maybe you could keep him on the roster or figure out another situation for him, in which case that maybe that doesn't have to get stretched, making that stretched amount 14.3 total over 5 years, just the Dedmon deal as opposed to Dedmon plus Magruder. So that would be helpful for the future. We'll get into more of that later. Another big question left in my eyes, the one that I'm waiting for is the Houston deal to get announced. The Christian Wood sign and trade, you figure that just gets folded into the Ariza draft picks deal. The Pistons sent over that first round pick on draft night with all the protections. Does Christian Wood added to that mean the Pistons get more protections? I believe James was reporting that was likely as well. What are those protections? What does that mean for that pick? Maybe there's a way you can rescind that pick completely and turn it into only seconds. Of course, that's a little bit of a pipe dream. We'll see. But that would really be a win if you can get some more protections or turn that into seconds instead, although seconds are out the window too. We'll talk about the logic in trading a future first later. But that's like the news that we're waiting for that is probably the most consequential over these next few days. Also, someone else that was traded for, you could see them getting shipped, like the new guys on this roster. Jalen Hands, for instance. Thinking about him, he could be part of a sign-and-trade with Denver for Jeremy Grant and or Mason Plumlee. No, I don't think Blake Griffin's going to Denver in a sign-and-trade, as was rumored on Friday night. But something small going back Denver's way to, A, clear out the roster spot for the Pistons, and maybe we pick up a future second from them, or maybe we don't send any players back, but just a trade exception in the size of the Grant contract or the Plumlee contract or something like that. Maybe we could pick up an asset in an exchange that helps out both teams. I could see that happening as well. So looking for that news. And also, if we're looking at this roster right now going into this season, which at some point they will be playing basketball, believe it or not, there's not a heck of a lot of shooting on this team, if you haven't noticed. Again, big picture, doesn't matter all that much. This team won't be much good anyways, although there won't certainly be as bad as maybe I thought after the draft. But there is a if there is a real legitimate push and belief in the team headquarters that this team's ceiling and that the goal of this season is to make the playoffs, to go to the eighth seed, unlikely that happens, but certainly there's a world where that happens if Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose are healthy, the chips fall where they may, the team competes hard for Dwayne Casey. This could be a playoff team. Maybe they don't want to be. Well, anyway, then you probably need some shooting to balance things out if your goal is to make this team better. Now, I don't want to sacrifice long-term assets for short-term shooting right now, but looking at this roster, Svi is the only pure shooter on this team. Jeremy Grant and Blake Griffin's percentages aren't so bad at times. Wouldn't necessarily call those guys shooters. A lot of minus shooters, particularly in the backcourt right now. So if the idea is to make this team as good as possible, which, again, up for debate and always has been up for debate with the Pistons, always will be up for debate with the Pistons for the foreseeable future, you need shooters to make this team better if that's the idea. So that's really kind of what I'm looking at. That's kind of about it in terms of the big question. Again, there's always a chance that Troy Weaver has more up his sleeve. This guy is shooting from the hip. He's got the six shooter. I think it's more of like an eight or nine shooter that he's dealing with right now. A lot loaded up in his gun, and we'll see what Troy Weaver has in store for this franchise, for better or worse, going forward. And first, we're going to talk about what I really like about what this front office has done. We'll get to the bad later, but first the good. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, you know I got to tell you guys about Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the old ones. You add the OGs to the new flavors, the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, the carrot cake, the apple almond crisp. I put my Built Bars in the fridge and open up the box, and I just grab one. Don't even look at the flavor till I pull it out, and it's like a treat. I'm like, oh, yeah, carrot cake. I haven't had that yet in this box. So always really exciting. My life is just a thrill, as if you can possibly imagine, here in downtown Detroit during a pandemic. But anyway, got the 12 original OG flavors that add those six to banana bread, peanut butter brownie. Those are two of my favorites from the OGs. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy, even your boy trying to get back into the health routine despite the holidays. I don't know. Let's do it. Let's try to get back in shape. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet as well. All the macros that you want. A good amount of protein despite the lack of calories, very low sugar, very low carbs as well. This is what you want. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKDOWN, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKDOWN for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, later on in the week, we've got more Almost Legends coming from Brother Brian. The post-draft profile of Isaiah Stewart, we haven't had one on him, so that will be coming on Tuesday. Maybe some Meet a Piston series as well, as the new guys, as time goes on, and we're sure that the new guys are actually going to stick around. But those of you who listen to the show for only Brother Brian, don't fret. He'll be back tomorrow here on Locked On Pistons. But Troy Weaver, want to talk about some of the good things about what he did this weekend and last week, really. Obviously, he's going for a little bit of a different tact than a lot of the rebuilds we've seen in the past. He is going for players and culture, not really focusing on value and assets. Let me kind of explain what I mean by that. Let's talk a little bit about the players and the culture, the good stuff first. This team obviously eyeballed Jeremy Grant from a long time ago. It was a priority for them this past offseason, or for this offseason. I like this guy a lot. I've talked about him on the show plenty as kind of a throwback type, a two-way player. You know how I love my two-way players. He gets after it, and he believes that he is ready to be a top two or three guy on an NBA team. He's getting paid like a high-level starter. I called him a star level of a contract over the weekend. Certainly not superstar, but the $20 million, whether you want to call it a high-level starter or a star, certainly one of the guys on the billboards for the two or three people that you're going to be putting front and center as the faces of your franchise at that dollar amount. He wants to prove that he's more than that high-level role player that he was in Denver, and he made strides to do that in the playoffs and during the bubble as well. He'll have plenty of chances to do that here, and he's going to get paid to do that here as well. His teammate in Denver, Mason Plumlee, is a guy that the Pistons liked a lot, obviously. No doubt about that. He should help the development of the young guys. I'm not saying anything that you haven't probably seen on Twitter over the weekend. Everyone talking about how the pick and roll with Killian Hayes, Mason Plumlee and Killian Hayes, watch out, NBA. But this guy is a real professional, a competitor, toughness, Duke dude. I know that, I don't know, maybe speaking for myself, I don't know what the fascination with the Duke guys is with this franchise. That was like, I was a tweet I sent way back when Kennard got drafted, kind of a tongue-in-cheek. You just know how much people love for Michigan love Duke guys. When thinking about the Donovan Mitchell versus Luke Kennard screw-up, which we all kind of knew at the time was a bad move. But back to Mason Plumlee, he's got something to prove. He played a little Team USA. He probably thinks he's a starter in this league. Not a lot of people do, including your boy Matt. But he has a chance to prove it here. He has a chip on his shoulder. Jeremy Grant's got a chance to prove it here. He's got a chip on his shoulder. They're paid. They're secure. So maybe they're not as hungry as you might hope that a guy might be. But in those guys, Plumlee and Grant, the two biggest signings that the Pistons made over the weekend, they found players that they identified and they got them. They didn't do it in the way that most rebuilding front offices do, by maintaining flexibility and trying to get value deals. But they zeroed in on guys and went and got them. I think that my advice for Troy Weaver, which he completely ignored, going into free agency was sit back, wait, see who falls through the cracks, see who might be available for a very much value contracts, take that second tier of guys, throw out a whole bunch of offers of low balls, and whoever falls through the cracks, maybe you can collect some assets there. But no, this front office said, here's guys we like. We're going to aggressively go after them, make them above market deals, and try to do that. And I know that Denver offered, we'll get into the Denver versus Detroit offer for Jeremy Grant here a little bit later on. But the Pistons, Troy Weaver wanted to change the culture today, this offseason on day one, and build this Pistons team in the image that he was looking for from the very first day. Not to gradually move on from certain pieces, not to wait until Luke Kennard shows that his knees are okay, not to wait till Bruce Brown gives another nice season of tape so you can fetch the most assets for it. No, go do this right now. Get the guys you want. Get rid of the guys you don't. And also, you know, some positives. A lot of these guys are cast-offs too, guys with something to prove, with pedigree, with talent, kind of in the lineage of some of the old school guys that we like, the Chauncey Billups, who was waiting for an opportunity to be a focal point of a team, Ben Wallace, who was waiting to be a starter in this league, Vinnie Johnson, Rick Mahorn, a couple of other names from the past. There's also bad examples of this in the past where you give guys an opportunity that ended up blowing up in your face a little bit. Josh Smith, Charlie Villanueva. I digress from there. We'll move on. But again, guys with pedigree, chip on their shoulders. Jahlil Okafor, former third pick of the draft, wants to prove he's something more like that guy than a minimum, barely in the league anymore guy. Josh Johnson, number four pick in the draft, during a good draft. Same thing there. Zaire Smith, ready to roll the balls out and prove something, prove that he's an NBA player, the NBA talent that a lot of people thought he was on draft night a few years ago. Athletes and competitors with something to prove. Dwayne Casey, he's got to love this. He's going to love that the playing time has to be earned by the young guys. It's going to drive a lot of you guys crazy to see DNPs for Josh Johnson. It's just going to be something that the eternal struggle of the vets versus the young guys, right? You know, Blake and Derrick Rose, you pencil them in for whatever minutes that they can stand to play health-wise, injury-wise. Jeremy Grant's a $20 million a year guy. He's going to get 30 minutes a night. Other than that, there's nobody on this team who's like guaranteed minutes. So Dwayne's going to roll the balls out in training camp and say, come get some, guys. Dwayne Casey's going to love this. For better or worse, he's going to love this and make this a competition. I mean, look at this roster. There's so many guys. There's not, like I said, you get the three guys who you know are going to get minutes if they're healthy. Other than that, you can make cases that this guy deserves minutes, this guy should get minutes. DeLon Wright's probably fourth on that list. But the new school rebuilds, this is not, right? The MIT guys, the Moneyball stats, The Pistons, as far as I know, don't have an analytics department, which is amazing. Troy Weaver was allowed to hire. Well, I don't know who made the decision. I'm guessing it's his bosses, Arne Tellem and Ed Stefanski. They hired one assistant general manager, and he's a cap guy from Milwaukee. So no, this isn't high level statistics. And surely they're using whatever they're using to get there. But you know, this is Troy Weaver's like talent eye, which is what he's known for. It's a good thing. It's his MO, kind of his label, so to speak. And I'm sure he's got his own ways, and I'm sure this front office has their own ways of using some of that new school stuff. I don't want to overemphasize that this is just not an MIT operation or an analytics operation at all, but it's obviously something with Sachin Gupta and how that was treated a few years ago that this organization has marginalized in the last few years. Oklahoma City and New Orleans are kind of like the new school rebuild darlings, right? Because they had Anthony Davis, they had Paul George, they had Russell Westbrook. It's different situations, clearly. But it was all for them about pick accumulation and about flexibility. This is the new hotness. This is the way that teams are trying to rebuild. And rightfully so, from where Weaver's coming from, it's turned like draft picks and like that stuff probably a little bit overvalued around the league right now. So it's a bit of a zag. You see at the trade deadline, nobody goes for it. Nobody makes those deals because you got to hold on to those picks, right? I got picks. Don't fire me. We got all these picks coming up. These are going to be great players down the road. I don't love this extreme version side of it that Troy Weaver's doing where he disregards a lot of this stuff, but it's a zag and it could be a lot of, could be smart in a lot of ways. For an example of how this hasn't worked, and I know it's silly to look at this team because it's a Eastern Conference contender, but the Boston Celtics, the accumulation of draft picks hasn't necessarily worked. They got Jason Tatum, but that was the one, and Jaylen Brown they drafted as well. I don't know if that was an acquired pick or what. But these last few years, they had all those picks. It was like, oh, they got the Sacramento pick. They got this Memphis pick. They got all these picks coming in. The value, the accumulation of these picks and assets, it's hard to do, first of all, right, because all these teams are trying to do it. It takes a lot of time. Sam Presti's going to be picking four guys in the first round 6 years from now. Who cares at this point? I mean, you should care. But it doesn't necessarily lead to success. Plus, you're not the first ones who's thought of it. Everyone else is trying to do it too. Again, with Boston, the Grant Williams, the Carson Edwards, the Romeo Langford, the Robert Williams. I mean, there's guy after guy after guy. They just added three more first-round picks. I don't know. Maybe they got rid of one of them. But the dude from Oregon, Peyton Pritchard, where are the minutes for those guys? You got a crowded roster. You're going to have the best G League team in the world. But does that matter when you're in the playoffs and they don't have a seventh guy to throw out there and give them minutes? It's not really working out as well in Boston as you thought it would have 2-3 years ago from now. Again, Troy Weaver's strengths are identifying talent, and he's doing a good job of getting into the culture of the old Pistons teams of Detroit. I like that part of it. He found his guys. He's going for it. It's a little bit unconventional, but he's staying true to himself, and we will see in time how it shakes out. That's the positive side, but there's another side of it, including what they're saying nationally. So we will talk about next the things I didn't like from last week. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, Down Under, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts, including your boy Matt, who was on the show today. So check that one out. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get your podcasts. Check me out there. Latest news, it was probably dumb to record this podcast while people are still awake. Should have stayed up till midnight or so, but your boy wants to get some sleep tonight. The news is that Zaire Smith just might get waived and stretched. So what could have been goodbye, my love, to Zaire Smith? So I wanted to talk about, along those lines, I wanted to talk about some moves, the things that I didn't like about this week with Troy Weaver in the new front office. Well, the old front office plus Troy Weaver, I guess is the way we should put it. Which, by the way, when I talked about this kind of ad nauseum during this pandemic, but unfortunately for Troy Weaver, and this is not his fault, of course, but to me, his era starts with like half a strike against it because Stefanski and Arne Tellem are still here. And in my and we, you know, it's always talked about this is a collaborative effort. So we don't know who's really making the calls. We don't. I mean, you would think that Troy Weaver wouldn't have left Oklahoma City unless he had pretty full autonomy here in Detroit. But I also know that from the moves that Troy Weaver's making, he doesn't seem to jibe with the approach that they're taking in Oklahoma City. He's taking a different one here. And, of course, a nice little raise to be the GM as opposed to the assistant GM. So, anyway, the things that I'm going to complain about here that I don't like, and if you don't, and if you want to be like pro Pistons and you can't take any criticism of Troy Weaver, maybe this is where you stop the podcast today. But for the rest of us that are kind of in reality, and but it is kind of, I know that we all kind of skew positively for the most part. If we're still following this team, you have to have some belief of things going forward. And I promise I try to stay as positive as I can, despite this last 12 years or so that we've all kind of endured here. I guess just being exposed to more Pistons fans out there this weekend on social media and whatnot, like I'm surprised about how many of you guys will just like eat up everything and defend everything. You don't have to defend every move that your team makes. But anyway, none of these things that I'm going to complain about here in and of themselves like will totally torpedo this rebuild, right? I want to get that clear. A lot of these are minor gripes. And I know there's a way to explain away each of them or to partially explain away each of them. And maybe I'm wrong on some of these complaints. Always open to that fact. But taken in total, I think that the Pistons, by and large, are not doing smart business in this past week. The 4 second-round picks to get off the Luke Kennard, and even outside of those 4 second-round picks, getting questionable value for him, 24, 25, and 26 second-round picks, this team could be very bad still then, and there could be a deep draft where it's the 35th pick or the 37th pick. It's not nothing. And I know a lot of you say, oh, you can just buy second-round picks. Well, not always. Not always. I mean, if there's the Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, you had to give up multiple seconds to get that Kyrie Thomas pick going forward. So, you know, good front offices, smart front offices value second-round picks. We know that Ed Stefanski throws them out the door like the banana peel. O'Doyle rules. But I think it's just kind of good business to hold on to your assets as much as you possibly can. Even outside of the 4 seconds that they gave up for the Luke Kennard deal, I didn't love the value of getting 19 in a shaky draft for Luke Kennard anyway, especially when you had to take back Rodney Magruder, and now they're in roster space hell right now, stretching out everyone. I feel like I'm going to get stretched out here in a second. Although that would feel kind of good to have the Pistons give me a good stretch here. But also the dead money. Starting rebuilds with a large amount of dead money over 3 years, 5 years. This Dwayne Dedmon deal that's going to be $14 million guaranteed over 5 years of dead money. Man, this kind of goes without saying, but that is not a good way to start a rebuild. Cap flexibility is at a premium. And again, we're talking about, what, three? If it's Magruder and Zaire and Dwayne Dedmon, which, by the way, all three useful at some level players, or roll the dice and see what happens with Zaire. Better to have just had those guys on your team. And now this is kind of in a vacuum kind of a talk, but better to actually just have Dwayne Dedmon for 1 year when you're not going to be good anyway, instead of, again, the Mason Plumlee deal that we're going to talk about a little bit here as well. The dead money is just not good. It's called dead money. I mean, you don't have to explain too thoroughly why dead money is bad on a cap when you're talking about trying to maintain flexibility going forward, right? Okay. The other thing about the value, there's basically no tradable contracts on this team right now. Derrick Rose is tradable this year, right? Really kind of it. He was from the pre-Weaver days. Svi Mykhailiuk and Sekou Doumbouya, of course, are tradable, but in theory, you want to keep them. Now, the trade market always seems to disappoint at the deadline anyway, so building only for trade purposes might not be and probably isn't a smart idea anyways. Teams are scared to give up future assets, but still, it would be nice to go into this trade deadline with something that might be tradable. That's not the case right now. The value wasn't there for deals, and so they sacrificed value to get the players that they coveted. Now, it's not an entirely bad thing. Jeremy Grant, $20 million. We'll probably talk more about him down the line. But bringing him over as a piece to kickstart a rebuild and put the ball in his hands, possession after possession after possession, that feels like a miscast. He's not a creator, not a pick-and-roll ball handler. What does an offense centered around him look like? Maybe it's great. I'm skeptical. And a lot of the smart people that I talk to and that I listen to and that I read are skeptical that Jerami Grant is that player too. And again, Denver offered him too. It's different for a contender to keep their guys when they're over the cap. Keeping your guys is more manageable. You're able to pay them with your bird rights. That's why you're seeing Joe Harris, Davis Bertans, Marcus Morris, Myers Leonard. Those guys are getting bigger deals than maybe they would have in the market because those teams don't have any other options. They can't just replace them with a new free agent like the Pistons did or could have instead of the Plumlee deal. Those guys are overpaid because they have leverage. The Pistons had leverage against Plumlee and didn't sacrifice it or didn't use it. So they chose to make those deals for Grant and Plumlee. And again, both valuable players to some extent. They chose to make those deals in lieu of the other things that they could have done in the space, which include, you know, the Dedmon contract, Zaire Smith. We're going to lose Zaire Smith because you paid Mason Plumlee $8.3 million. Like, the difference of Zaire's contract is basically the difference between what they paid Plumlee and what they should have paid Plumlee. It's kind of a really simple way of looking at it. And really, like Joe Truck pointed out over the weekend on Twitter, in Jerami Grant's case, all the dead money that the Pistons are taking on here, that might as well be added to the opportunity cost of getting Jerami Grant. So Jerami Grant could end up being a $26 million a year guy, which makes it tougher to swallow. Of course, if you wanted to trade him down the line, which is unlikely, and certainly in years one and two, you only have to match $20 million. So it's not apples and apples. Another thing about Jerami Grant, John Hollinger's system boards had him rated as a $7.4 million player per year. Now, you got to throw that system in the garbage at that point because that's not what he's worth either. But I would argue that maybe he's somewhere between 14 and 16 instead of 20. And if you love Jerami Grant, you might argue that, hey, $5 million at this point, does it really matter that much when you're trying to really change culture and get things going? And plus, in free agency, you got to pay the free agency tax. Plus, you got to pay the Detroit tax, right? An uninteresting, boring city that not a lot of people from the outside really want to come to. And, of course, I'm throwing quote marks on all this stuff. The same tax that Charlotte has to pay to get Gordon Hayward. Which brings me to the other deal. Mason Plumlee, three years, $25 million, $8.3 per season, all guaranteed. We got to talk about it for a second. This is the worst deal that any team will sign this offseason. Not worse than Gordon Hayward, much worse than Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward's made an all-star team. If he's healthy, he's a good player. He's a very good player. Solid starter, possibly more. So, yeah, if you're the Charlotte Hornets and you got the cap space and, hey, you know, take a swing, sell some tickets. Of course, it's comparing two very unlike things, but value-wise, yes, I believe that Gordon Hayward at a crazy contract that everyone goes nuts about, not nearly as bad as Mason Plumlee's deal. The fact that it happened, Plumlee's deal, 30 minutes after free agent started is infuriating for a fan base that overpaid and waited on the contracts of role players like John Luehr, Langston Galloway, Boban Marjanovic, Aaron Baines, Ish Smith, and you just have to wait for those contracts to roll out over the years while this team kind of is stuck in the mud. You never get any value back for them in trades. Tony Snell with 2 years left with a sunk cost. So the Luehr trade wasn't getting value back. Mason Plumlee, backup centers, they're a dime a dozen. You don't spend money on backup centers. As we know from the Boban failure, Baines, even though he was good for a while, didn't really do anything to help the Pistons. You've seen it with Nerlens Noel. You see it with JaVale McGee. There's cheaper deals out there. And, you know, no, these guys maybe aren't quite Mason Plumlee, but doesn't really matter. It's not going to result in an extra win for the Pistons or anything like that. McGee, the Lakers attached a pick to get rid of him tonight would have been nice, right? Or just waiting and kind of seeing how this materializes. Maybe lowballing Mason Plumlee at first and saying, hey, maybe we'll get you some more money if things kind of work out in a few days. But no. Slam the door shut on some flexibility 30 minutes into free agency, especially backup centers who can't shoot, right? Mason Plumlee is not a shooter. Just because he might start for the Pistons, and he probably will, doesn't change the fact also that he's a backup center, right? He's a backup center who might start. That's a way to put it. And the people who think that you can get value in a trade for Plumlee in the next 2.5 years before he's expiring at the deadline 2.5 years from now, I'm sorry, you just don't know what you're talking about. Again, expiring in the final year at the trade deadline, maybe possibly, but you know what would be better? if he was expiring this year, so that maybe you could possibly get rid of him on a one-year deal. This is the second complete F of a move that the Stefanski crew has made after the Servetus trade from the draft last year, when you gave up 2 seconds to move up seven spots in a bad second round to draft Michael Tellum's client, son of Arn Tellum, not to be confused with Arn's other son, Eric, who's the director of pro scouting with the Pistons. Yes, Mason Plumlee's agent, Mark Bartlestein, super agent. He's not a small business, and certainly the Pistons have to do business with Mark Bartlestein to be a relevant NBA team. But Mark is the father of Josh Bartlestein, who is a member of the Pistons front office, former Michigan player as well. So the two moves, and again, maybe it's irresponsible of me to throw like these kind of, I don't know, they're allegations or facts out there, but not a great look, right, from the outside when we're doing those kind of deals with literally flesh and blood. Anyway, honestly, unfortunately, the Plumlee deal, how it went down, the centers, the value, the years, the guarantees, all that stuff, it's a red flag to me, and it's a warning sign. And again, we don't know who made this decision. We don't know who pulled the power play. I got to believe that this was not a unanimous decision in the Pistons front office war room. But it's a stench that's going to factor in how I kind of believe in this front office going forward. I'm not going to be able to get rid of it for a while. We're going to make jokes about it. The Plumlee is going to be something that we talk about here in Detroit Pistons lore for a long time. Not learning from mistakes. Again, the lure deal, the summer of 2016, money was flying around crazy. The Pistons were one of the only teams with cap space, and I know that a lot of money is still flying around, most of that based on bird rights and teams over the cap. But for a team like the Pistons, who didn't have to sign a Plumlee, whichever one you want, and locked it up for a long time, just not great business. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device, play the most recent episode. Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.